We thank the Lord for life spared to another broadcast time. We are thankful for the privilege of sharing another Ray of Truth broadcast with you. And we trust the Holy Spirit will use us and use our broadcast to make it a blessing to you. So we invite you to stay with us. The program originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. And this is Alan A. Craig speaking. We're opening our service with the West Virginia Trio singing for us, I Need Jesus.
Refuge and safe hiding place.
Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for the grace of God, for you've told us that your grace is sufficient, regardless of what trial or test may come our way. Now we thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious congregation today, and we're trusting the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, the most important question. There are many important questions being asked today. People are troubled about many things, as there is so much evil in the world. What about the trouble in the Middle East? What about our own nation? What does the future hold? Who will be our next president? But it seems no one is asking the most important question of all. What is that question? Well, our thoughts today will be based on scriptures found in Acts chapter 16 and verse 22 through 34. And in this passage of scripture, we find a man who asks the most important question. As we journey along, I trust that you will see what we have reference to. Paul had gone through Asia Minor on his first missionary journey and had returned to Antioch, there in Syria, and he decided he wanted to revisit the congregations that they had established, and so he took Silas with him on this second missionary journey, and they visited those different congregations, and Paul wanted to go to a certain place, but the Spirit forbid him. And then he said, well, I'll go to this place, another place. And the Spirit again forbid him. So they went to Troas, and there during the night, Paul had a dream or a vision of a man standing over in Macedonia, saying unto Paul, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now Macedonia was on the European continent, and Paul did not visit that part of the world on his first journey. But he gathered assuredly that this was the place that God would have them to go. And so they journeyed across the sea and went on to Philippi. And there in Philippi, they met some ladies who were at a river edge praying. And one of them was Lydia, a seller of purple, and she is recognized as Paul's first convert there in Europe. And she bid him and his party to come to her house and dwell while they were staying there, and they did. And Paul and Silas and others of his troop, including Timothy, were journeying along there on the streets of Philippi. And a certain woman who was possessed with an evil spirit and had the power supposedly to tell fortunes, she was a slave girl in reality, for her masters were getting much gain from her, and she was following them, saying, these men be the men of God. And Paul got tired of it after two or three days, and he turned and rebuked the devil and commanded the evil spirit to come out of her, and she was delivered from the demons and no longer able to do her nefarious work. But because of that, her masters had the magistrates to strike Paul and Barnabas, or Silas rather, with their whips. And they then had them put in the prison. And they charged the jailer to put them in, take care of them, make sure that they are held. And so he put them in the inner dungeon and put them in stocks. But Paul and Silas, rather than murmuring and complaining, they began to rejoice and to praise God and to sing at the midnight hour. And the jailer was awakened out of his sleep, and he heard them, and he discovered that all the doors of the prison were open, and he thought the prisoners had escaped. And he drew out his sword and was going to kill himself because that was the penalty for letting prisoners escape. But Paul cried out, do thyself no harm. We are all here. And so the jailer got a light and sprang in, and he saw what Paul had said was the truth. And so he asked them a question. And it is the most important question that anyone could ask. The jailer could have asked, how is it that the doors have flown open? How is it that all the prisoners are still here? But that was not what he asked. What must I do to be saved? A question that gets to the heart of the problem for every person in the world. What must I do to be saved? Now, the reason for this question, I say, was provoked by fear. The jailer thought he was going to kill himself because he thought they had escaped, but Paul told him not to do that. And so when he came and saw the prisoners were still there, the doors, although they were open, the prisoners were still there, and he would not have to kill himself because they had escaped. He asked that question, what must I do to be saved? It was provoked by faith. You note that the jailer did not take time to secure the prison or the prisoners. His fear was relieved when Paul told him that they were all there. And so at the midnight hour, this jailer sprang in, and he said to Paul and to Silas, what must I do to be saved? Now there are many people who are dead in trespasses and sins, and they never give God a thought, as it were. But until something happens in their lives, it causes them to stop and to think. And that's what happened here to the jailer. Something happened in his life that caused him to think. Now, just what all he knew about salvation, I do not know, but he knew enough to ask Paul, what must I do to be saved? And the response to this question was, first of all, note the jailer did not ask, what must I do to join church? No. And he did not ask what he must do to be religious. His question was, what must I do to be saved? And there is a vast difference in church joining or becoming religious and getting an experience of salvation. Paul points out to the jailer, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he points him to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. He is the only Savior this world has. Yes, Jesus Christ is the only Savior this world has. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus said in John 14:6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. We live in a society that thinks there is good in all religions, and it does not make any difference what you believe, as long as you are sincere. But that is not what the Word of God teaches. That is not what the Apostle Paul told the jailer. I have just read what is required. The only way anyone in any part of the world can be saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The jailer is told what to do. Yes, he was told what the facts were, what was really required of him. He wasn't told to be baptized there at first, and that'll save you. No, he told him that he needed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he needed to repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, this, of course, includes repentance. Note, Paul said nothing about salvation by works. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Jesus has already paid for our salvation. Yes, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Salvation cannot be bought with gold or silver. And again, it is not of works. Jesus Christ paid the price when he suffered, bled, and died there on the cross, and rose again the third day. Paul told the jailer, if he really and truly believed on Christ, he would be saved. They that trust in anything else are not saved. I repeat, they that put their trust in anything else are not saved. Salvation means deliverance from all sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are taken off of the broad road and put on the narrow way that leads to life eternal. The Lord takes out that heart of stone and He gives you a heart of flesh. He takes you out of that horrible pit and from the miry clay, and He sets your feet upon a rock and establishes your going. We read in Acts 2 and 47, praising God, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. So salvation makes you a member of God's church. Now the results, the jailer believed the gospel message. He accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior, and he took Paul and Silas to his home, and he washed their wounded, and he fed them, and then they went out, and Paul, or one of his disciples with him, baptized the jailer, and not only the jailer, but his entire house was converted that night. Now, Paul explained the gospel to his family, and they were all saved, I say, as well as the jailer himself. And they were all baptized that very night. And you know what? Paul said, let's go back to jail. And the jailer may have been puzzled at that, but he went back. And there they came the next morning. A sergeant came down to tell Paul that he was free to leave. And Paul said, no, you tell them to come and lead us out. They have openly beaten me, a Roman citizen, and now they want to send me away secretly? No, you go tell them to come and bring us out. And when the sergeant went back and told the magistrates there what they had done, they were rather fearful, and they came down to the jail, and they did lead Paul and Silas out. Paul had a reputation that he had to guard, and he was not going to sneak out of that jail secretly. And he required them to come and bring him out, and they did because he was a Roman citizen, and they had no authority, no right to beat him or to have him beaten as they did. But look at the jailer. Look what a change there came about in that man's life. No wonder Paul said, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. As soon as he got saved, the change became very evident. When Paul and Silas was delivered into the hands, he thrust them into the prison. Yes, he mistreated them, put stocks on them and so forth. But after he got saved, he took them to his home, washed their wounds, I say, and fed them. Now, beloved, the gospel is for everyone. We read in the book of Acts where Peter preached a powerful sermon there on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts 2, and he pointed out to them how they had crucified the Christ of glory, and how God had raised him from the dead. And they said to Peter, in effect, Peter, what you're saying is true. We're guilty. What shall we do about it? And Peter said to them that they should repent and they should be baptized for the remission of their sins. Now, Peter was not telling them that baptism would save them. He told them to repent. And Jesus said, except a man repent, he shall likewise perish. And so Peter told him to repent. We also read in the third chapter of Acts, verse 19, after Peter and John had healed a man, lame man at the gate beautiful, and multitudes came together, and Peter was able to present the gospel to them. And they inquired about salvation, and Peter said to them, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So I say the jailer asked the most important question that anyone could ask, and everybody in the world needs to ask that question, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ himself said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So repentance goes along with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, if you are listening to this broadcast and you're unsaved, I trust that you will take to heart the most important question you need to ask, and you should ask it sincerely, just as the jailer did. For the Lord stands ready to save you, just like he did that jailer so long ago. Whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. Again, Jesus tasted death for every man, and whosoever will may come. Heavenly Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another broadcast of the Way of Truth with you. We trust that it has been a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our postal address is the Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. Our fax number, 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, or you may listen to a previous broadcast if you missed any, or there's one there that you'd like to hear over. www.wayoftruth.org. We also invite you to be with us in our services if possible. Our morning service, Sunday morning service, begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6. Our midweek service, Wednesday evening at 7. www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to tune in next week when again, the Lord willing, will be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.